Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning. Welcome to another edition of the Core Business Show. This is Tim Jacquet, your host. Thank you for tuning in to the program. Today, I have the pleasure of having a guest who's going to talk about holistic thinking and the holistic view of how you approach your business. So before we have her on the line, we're going to take a station break real quick and play some information from our sponsor and play a song called Blue Skies by Corpus Christi Choir while we reboot our system and get the guests online. Thank you for tuning in today. Appreciate all your patience. Again, Tim Jacquet, host of the Core Business Show. And we're going to go ahead and take a station rollout and get a word from our sponsor, Apple Capital Group.
You're listening to the Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to the Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Well, everybody, thank you for listening again. Tim Jacquet, your host. Before we begin and bring our speaker online, they're trying to redial her extension. We had a power surge in the building and brought everything down, so everything has to come back online down to our contacts and the studio. So if you don't mind, bear with us for a second. We're going to put her online in a few minutes. Technical difficulties. Thank you. I appreciate your patience. Let's take a break and listen to the Corpus Christi Chorale out of Corpus Christi, Texas, singing Blue Skies, and we'll bring our guests online.
Oh.
Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Ironically, we had like a power surge 5 minutes ago, and it brought everything down. And we had to reboot our servers, reboot the phone. So we got a delay. But what happened is, I think what's so good about the system here, it will the quiet noise, it actually re-edits it, and it'll start from the point that when I started the show. But welcome to the program.
Thanks again. Yeah, it's great to be on.
So kind of tell us about yourself, where are you from, and then we'll just go straight into the show, talk about your profession, being a holistic coach.
Okay. Well, my name is Hadley Gustin, and I am a holistic anxiety coach, motivational speaker, and self-help writer for young women who struggle with anxiety. And mm-hmm. I am from the Chicagoland area. And basically what I do, I kind of designed it myself, is coaching, speaking, and writing, like I said, for young women who struggle with anxiety. And it's all about the holistic approach. You know, no medicine, no doctors. It's really about giving you the tools you need to heal yourself and to take control of your mind and live a happy, fulfilling, free life.
Wow. Going to the holistic approach, for example, without having any medication, I think teenagers and even adults have problems and have attacks of nervousness and anxiety over a lot of things, and it's just not only for women, for men have the same thing. Kind of tell us a story that you know of. How can you cope with something like that when you have an attack?
Well, I'll draw from personal experience, because I became inspired to build this business based on my own suffering. I suffered for over 10 years of my childhood and young adulthood with a severe and chronic anxiety disorder. And mm-hmm. for me, it started out as more of a panic disorder and having certain panic attacks, and it would come in waves. And then it developed into something that, like I said, it was chronic. So I had it just about every minute of every day. And coping with it, for me, there really was no viable option. First of all, I denied that I had anxiety for just about 10 years, and I chose not to really deal with it, and I just kept pushing all of my thoughts and my feelings and all the negativity down and down and down, and I wouldn't let it up. And I eventually hit a wall when I was in college, and I could no longer live this way. It just became so painful. I couldn't imagine it being any worse. And so that's when I sought out medication and the opinions of doctors and physicians. And that started to get me on the path to dealing with it and to coping with it. And I understand that for people going through anxiety or any other mental health disorder, be it depression, ADD, OCD, it really seems like the only option out there is to seek help through therapists and psychiatrists and medication. But the reality is that we have all the power we need to deal with it. We're just not accessing it. So when mm-hmm. it comes to eating a proper diet, and I can explain further what that means, or taking on daily practices such as yoga and meditation and affirmations and journaling, these are all huge steps in the healing process, and also things that I would say, especially if you have a disorder, things that you want to keep in your life from here on out to make sure that, you know, when that anxiety comes on, you can keep it in check and you can bring it back down.
Wow. And, you know, a lot of one of the things right this time of year, high school kids are looking at going to colleges, and I would say a life experience, especially with something like this, is pretty scary. Coming from what you're comfortable from, your family, especially if you're going out of state, going far away from a family, just from a personal experience, I was raised in Houston. I looked at Boston. I said, my gosh, they're so far away. Something happens, how can anybody get to me? And I had an attack, and I backed out at the last minute and said, okay, let me go a little bit closer to something I can drive and get to. And I went to Wichita State instead to go to school, because I knew that was easier to get to Texas. And And my thoughts are, my gosh, I'm the only child, and I'm going to a town. I don't know anybody who's going to Wichita State. Berkeley was the same way. Anybody, no one was going up there. But is that trip that you take with your parents and the unknown, and you're by yourself, you feel the fence. I got to the point that I had to go to a doctor because I kept breaking out in hives, and my arm was starting to swell up. And anyway, I had to go get admitted after being there for 3 weeks. Yeah, about two or three weeks, and take steroids to bring my swelling down because they thought I would probably, have an attack that I never had one before, but they thought, hey, if you feel like your throat is closing, you're either allergic to something or you have an attack, so you need to come to the hospital. So I went to one time. They gave me the drug, and then I was pretty good to go after that. So it happens to anybody, and life-changing events. In that particular case, what will you tell a person? It can be male or female, hey, this is what you need to do to deal with this in a holistic approach.
That's a great question. Basically what I've done is I've outlined four initial steps that people can do anytime, anywhere. You don't need any supplies, equipment. You don't need to be anywhere specific to do it. What I would say to somebody first who is either experiencing a panic attack or just in the middle of full-blown anxiety is say to yourself, say to, the people around you if you feel comfortable, hey, this is what I'm going through. I'm experiencing a panic attack or I'm going through anxiety. It's really important that you take that first step. And for many of us, it's so difficult because we don't want to admit that we're going through it or that we have it. We think it's a weakness. We think it somehow makes us crazy, strange, weird. But in fact, everybody goes through it. And that's the important thing to remember. So when you say it out loud and when you let, whatever's going through your mind come up and out, that really takes that anxiety back down. It helps to lower the adrenaline and the cortisol and everything rushing through you at that moment. That's the first step I would take. The second step is when you have anxiety or when you have panic, undoubtedly what's going through your mind is just a slew of negative thought patterns. And this could be constant and chronic, or it could be just in that moment that you're feeling burdened by all this negativity. What you want to do is reverse that by saying positive affirmations. And it could be a word, it could be a sentence, it could be two sentences. I take this affirmation that I got from Louise Hay, who's really the mother of metaphysical and spirituality. And she had this affirmation for anxiety specifically. And it's simply this. It goes, I love and approve of myself, and I trust the process of life. I am safe. And I, in the past year alone, I found that to be such an incredible tool to just repeat that over and over again to myself. And even if you don't believe it or don't believe what you're saying to yourself right away, give it a few minutes, give it time, and you'll notice dramatic differences in your physical response and also what's going on up in your mind. The third part, and you can do this with your eyes open, sitting on the train, walking, doing the laundry, wherever, whenever, is meditation. And people think, you need to be in a specific setting, sitting down or lying down with background music playing, and you really don't. I mean, that's ideal, but you can meditate anytime, anywhere. All it requires is that you immediately start paying attention to your breath and just observing it as it goes in and out. Don't try to force anything. Just let it flow, let it happen naturally. And try to not attach to your thoughts, because like we said earlier, you're going to be having a lot of negative thoughts probably, and the last thing you want to do is expand on them and play them out in your mind. Don't go there. Just let them pass through. It's okay that they're occurring, but don't latch on to them. Don't get attached. And then the fourth thing you want to do, and this, people get skeptical of it obviously for religious reasons, but the whole idea of prayer. And the type of prayer that I'm talking about here is not necessarily religious prayer. It goes hand in hand with religious prayer, but it's not inherently religious. It's affirmative prayer. And the main difference here being is that you're not asking a question when you do it. You're not begging or pleading for anything. You are being grateful for something. You are affirming something in your life to a higher power. And it could be, thank you for bringing this calm to me. Thank you for making me feel relaxed. You're saying it as if it's already there, as if you're already experiencing it. And when you speak in that language, it happens for you that much faster. When you speak in the language of asking a question, it's always going to be eluding you. It's always going to be just outside of your grasp, and that hinders you a bit when you're trying to calm yourself back down. So those four things, admission, affirmation, meditation, and prayer are four incredibly powerful tools to jumpstart your healing process or to calm you back down when you're in the middle of a panic attack.
Wow, that's awesome. In your particular practice itself, I know you go out and speak about this holistic approach, and for people who don't know what the holistic approach, I guess in layman term or in elementary term, kind of explain to the audience about the holistic approach.
Well, the holistic approach is basically looking at your mind, your body, and your spirit all together as one. When you are seeking out more of the traditional models for, healing, or you're looking for a cure for mental health, it's like we said earlier, it tends to be medication, it tends to be doctors and therapy, and that's really only focusing on one thing, or maybe even two, but predominantly the mind. And in some cases, the physical body, especially when you're talking about medication. But it looks at it looks at those things as two separate entities and then deal with the whole. And that's what holistic, which it's kind of part of the word in general, is whole. You're looking at all three things together, mind, body, spirit, and how they're integrated. And, when I was saying earlier, a big part of the healing process for me and for the people that I work with is eating a proper diet. I love to eat a raw plant-based diet simply because I've seen such dramatic effects with my own anxiety and my own mental health when I eat that way. And what people don't realize is, you are what you take in, whether it's the food you eat, the thoughts you think, the beverages you drink, the air you breathe. Everything you take in has all the effects on your body and your mind and your spirit. So you want to be feeding your mind with good foods and good thoughts and good drinks and good air. And so I try to focus on each of those elements. I also, like I said earlier, focus on practices to integrate into your life, meditation, yoga, journaling, affirmation, exercise, creative expression. These are all fundamental parts to not just the healing process, but to life itself. And it's when we get blocked in certain areas that we experience things like anxiety. Not everybody has a full-blown anxiety disorder. Some of us express these blockages in different ways. It could be as full-blown as cancer. It could be heart disease. It could be osteoporosis. It could be common cold or the flu. But whenever we're blocked internally, we're going to experience some form of ailment, disease, illness. And that's important to bear in mind. What I do and what I speak to is anxiety predominantly because it's been my experience. It's what I went through. And I feel that there's so little out there for it right now at this day and age. But my methods and everything that I do really works for almost any disease and ailment out there. And so, if people aren't just going through anxiety, but there's more to their mental health issues, such as depression or anything beyond that, it's important to remember you can use these tools for that as well. And you can use them for chronic physical ailments, anything that you're going through. So I would highly recommend all of it.
Okay. We're going to take a break. And actually, I had a clip of yours that we're going to play for about 3 minutes real quick, something from YouTube. And then I want to talk about, when you talk about plant-based diet, we are what we eat, and talk about the chemistry of processed food that we eat. Is that really affecting who we are? So let's take a break real quick, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Happy holidays, everyone. Welcome back to the Hip to the Whole community. I kind of want to pick up right now where we left off last time, and it's going to be a quick vlog, so I promise I won't keep you long here. But if you recall, my last vlog was titled, Why Me? And I kind of talked about, the reasons why people with anxiety have anxiety. And for this vlog, I decided it was going to be kind of an add-on and a part two for that. And I thought the message that I'm going to be sharing here is just so perfect with this time of year, the holiday season, because essentially it's all about giving. And this second part to why me that I'm going to be talking about here, my answer to that question, in addition to the other reasons I shared in my previous blog post, is you have anxiety or people you know have anxiety because it is a gift that's been given to you. And I know for people who are severely suffering, that can be particularly hard to hear. I don't think I would have been receptive to it had somebody told me that several years ago. But it's so true. And the reason why it's a gift is because you can give of yourself by experiencing anxiety. There's so many people out there going through it that haven't even acknowledged it yet, or if they've acknowledged it, they're so stuck and they're so lost and they have no idea how to handle it. And they need people like you and like me to get them through it and tell them that, you know, many, many people have this, live with it, thrive with it, and they can too. That is probably the ultimate thing I discovered in my own personal healing process, was just how big of a gift this was for me. You know, through all of the pain and the heartache and the suffering, I can honestly say, you know, I felt like I went through a tremendous ordeal, particularly for, you know, me being somebody who's so young. But that said, you know, now being kind of on the other side of it and having a new perception of it, I am so fortunate and I am so blessed because I have this outlet to speak to you all and to share my stories and my experiences with anxiety so that hopefully you can benefit from it and you can pass it on and share it with others in your life. And so, like I said, it's very in tune with this time of year, the holiday season, and I really hope that either you share this blog with other people, like it on Facebook, tweet it, talk about it on Google or other forms of social media, whatever it is that you do. But either way, what I want you to do is go out there and give of yourself. Find a family member, a friend, an acquaintance who's going through anxiety or some other mental health issue, and just simply let them know that they're not alone, that you're right there with them, ready to help. And that's the ultimate gift. So Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever it is that you celebrate. I look forward to being with you next week. Next week we'll be talking about the new year and all this crazy, awesome, exciting stuff we can do to heal our anxiety in the new year. So I look forward to that. And have a great rest of your week and weekend. I will see you soon. Take care.
Okay, that was something you had on your slide, which still speaks in the holiday. We just went to Easter in the Christian tradition on both ends. So anyway, it was a timeless piece, and I said, hey, I have to put this on here as well. So I guess to go back regarding, you mentioned before we had this break real quick, regarding what you take makes us who we are. Do you think having a lot of processed food is giving us stress as well, or contributing
absolutely
to stress?
Absolutely. And I actually learned this several months ago in my studies about raw and veganism. And it turns out that over 40% of stress in the human body is solely due to digestive stress. So when we eat optimally, and like I said, that was plant-based diets, you know, if you can be vegetarian, if you can be vegan or even raw, it makes a huge difference because you are so greatly cutting back on that stress, which is close to half your overall stress. And when you do that and you take away that almost 50%, it's a huge healing tool. You know, then you're dealing with other stresses at that point, but you no longer have to worry about, like I said, close to 50% of stress in the body because you're taking care of it by eating correctly. And that's a major thing that I want people to understand, because they think, you know, anxiety is all about my brain, my mind, it's all up in my head. Well, I tell people this, and I've spoken about it in recent vlogs that I've done that you can find on my website, that your brain actually lives mostly in your digestive tract and in your large intestine predominantly. Serotonin, which is a major chemical we hear about in regards to anxiety and depression, it's the feel-good hormone. It's produced in the large intestine. Most of our neurons are produced in the large intestine. So I try to get people to understand this because when we pollute our bodies with toxins, with processed foods, genetically modified foods, cooked foods even, when we're putting all that into our system, not only are we creating digestive stress, but we're really harming all of our brain chemicals that are being produced in that same digestive tract. So it's so critical that we eat well, and that's the cornerstone of what I teach, because when you do that, you heal so much of your anxiety, and from there on out, it becomes much easier to deal with.
Well, kind of give us a story. Kind of tell us what the different levels of proper eating. You mentioned about being a vegan, and you mentioned three things real quick. Being a vegetarian, something else you call it was raw?
Raw foodism, yeah.
Okay. Can you talk about those three type of areas that this is the way we should be eating? And, you know, everybody can't be meatless for medical reasons, and for some people just can't get rid of meat, but they can choose what types of meat that they eat. Kind of talk us about those three that you mentioned, and then we can go from there.
Absolutely. Well, first off, I will say all three of what I just mentioned, they are meatless options. Vegetarian being, you know, you're just giving up meat of any kind, and that includes fish. Veganism, you're going a step further by not only giving up meat, but also dairy products, any animal byproducts. And then raw foodism is probably the most extreme, and it also goes hand in hand with living foods. And that is, you are solely eating plants, whether it be vegetables, fruits, nuts, grains, seeds. You are eating those in their raw living form, meaning they are not cooked above, let's say, 110, 118 degrees, because the idea behind that is when they are cooked over that temperature, it kills the living enzymes inside the food, and we need those enzymes to be nourished and to help us break down the food that's going through our body. So I will tell you, I am 100% raw today. That's how I eat. But knowing that people, you know, obviously can take issue with that for themselves, and they don't want to go all the way with that, which I understand. You know, even if you don't want to go meatless, there are ways that you can eat that are going to be effective in healing your anxiety. And I would say, if you're still going to eat the meat, try to buy organic, grass-fed meat. You know, that is the best kind that you can buy. Try to buy meats such as chicken and turkey. Try to stay away from the red meat. The red meat, I mean, even mainstream society, and I believe the FDA released documents not too long ago that, you know, they even say, which is a huge step for them, I think, that red meat will just flat out kill you. It'll cause cancer. It'll cause all this garbage inside of you. So try to steer clear of that, or eat it as little as possible. Try to stick to more of the white meats, chicken, turkey, stuff like that. If you do want to go meatless, vegetarian is a great first step. I always try to get people to go as far as they can with it. If you can eat a predominantly plant-based diet, meaning 60% or greater, you know, the optimal amount is 80-20, 80% raw and living and 20% cooked, but still in the vegan, vegetarian vein. If you can do that, you're doing yourself a huge service. But like I said, you know, there's always ways to eat better, even if you're going to stick with things like meat. Try to stay away from genetically modified foods. That's, you know, anything with hormones pumped in it or extra sugar additives, anything like that. If you can make those changes, those simple changes, or some of them, you don't have to do all of them, you're going in the right direction.
Wow. Talking about being a vegetarian itself, the plant-based, it's one extreme to go all the way plant-based, and you said uncooked. I'm sure there's a small percentage of people that can eat that way, but you're saying nothing is cooked, it's in a raw state.
Correct.
With no milk, no cheese, nothing that's connected to an animal.
Exactly. And it's not to say that I don't drink milk, because actually I drink milk such as coconut milk, almond milk, rice milk, which is even better for you. The big misconception when people go vegetarian or vegan or raw is that, oh my God, you're not getting protein. How do you live? How do you eat? And the reality is there's far more protein in the plants than there are in the animals that we eat. People have just been misled and misguided. But if you look at the studies and the research that's been done, you know, you got to ask yourself, even a layman can ask himself this, is, you know, where do the animals get their protein? Because, you know, a lot of them are plant-eating animals. They don't eat each other. So their protein comes from the plants. One of the highest sources of protein out there is spirulina, which is a sea vegetable. You can also get crazy amounts of protein from things like spinach and kale and romaine lettuce. So it's crazy, but if you do the research, if you put in the time to find out these facts, which is what I want people to start doing, particularly in regards to mental health and anxiety, is do the research, take the time for yourself, because it's so important that you start taking responsibility for how you're going to eat and for what you're going to take in. That has everything to do with it.
Okay. You know, you look at the American Indian, and you don't hear a lot of stories of health issues. You see longevity. You see, you don't see a lot of them having cancer, if any at all. But and they're a lot of them are vegetarian, or they do the 80-20. They don't eat as much meat. Do you think that's a good example, the American Indian, on their particular diet and how long they live, and they don't necessarily eat a lot of processed food?
Definitely, yeah. And interestingly enough, probably the American Indian today is worse off than most of us because they are eating more processed foods than ever, just based on the fact that we live in this very processed food society. But no, going back to their original state, the way they were hundreds of years ago, you know, a mm-hmm. lot of the health books that I read right now reference that and reference their society way back when, because it's so idyllic in how they ate. And it was very agriculturally based, obviously. But even so, I mean, they stuck so much to eating the plants around them. Sure, there was some meat, you know, especially depending on what part of the country they were in and whatnot. But mostly, if not all the time, in some cases, they were eating the plant foods. And their diet was so well balanced. It was so natural. And it was probably something they didn't even have to think about. And we've lost a lot of that knowledge over time. But, you know, slowly but surely, we're getting it back. And like I said, this is what I want people to understand. And this is what I want them to access, is this knowledge that's out there. And it is still out there. You just got to do some digging for yourself. But, you know, if you go on my website, if you go on some of the sites that I recommend, that information is front and center. So it won't be hard for you at all.
Okay. Wow, yeah, it's just really amazing. But the I guess dealing with processed food today, like you say, you know, the spike of cancer within the last 50 years or 60 years, I guess it can be contributed because of just what we eat and the processed food that we're eating. Do you think is it too late, or is there a time that you can say, hey, it's never too late to go and change your diet. If you're 20, 50, or 80, you can always make the change and try to reverse the aging.
It's never too late.
Or the stress on your body.
And so many people think it is. They think, you know, when they get that diagnosis, even, you know, even if it is cancer or heart disease or something major and life-threatening, they see it as the end. They see that as, okay, my time is up. In reality, and I try to point that out to people with anxiety and mental health disorder specifically, is that when you get that diagnosis, whatever it is, it's not, you know, the end is near. It's in reality, it's just your body and your mind and your spirit even telling you, wake up, you know, you can change this. And I need you to change this now. And when you make those shifts and you say, I'm going to take this diagnosis as my wake-up call instead and move forward with it and make dietary changes and lifestyle changes, you can heal it in a matter of months, you know. And people, stories come out every day about people who have healed even their cancer, you know, stage 4 incurable cancer even, in a matter of months just by making these kinds of changes. So I can't say enough good things, enough positive things about it.
Anything you like to, I guess, leave the audience with, what they really need to do at this point, as of today, to reverse the trend of the way they think, the way they feel. Try to go over, do your research and being holistic. And also, we'll talk about your website in a few minutes as well. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to leave people with this, if nothing else, is that, you know, especially if you have not opened up about your anxiety or you haven't talked about it, do that. Even if it's to yourself, looking in the mirror, but say the words out loud that I have anxiety or I have panic in my life or whatever it is, let it out and then let the emotions come up and out. When I first did that for myself a matter of years ago, you know, I found that I laughed, I cried, I all of a sudden wanted to tell everybody in my life because it felt so good and it felt so freeing and it was such a relief. So that's my number one piece of advice is if you haven't already done it, and even if you have, continue to do it. And what you'll find, most of us think that people are going to shut us down if we say this stuff out loud. What you'll find, and I see this still every single day that I talk about it, is that people open up to you then, and they're just waiting for you to say it yourself because they're so afraid. But all of a sudden, they'll tell you, you know, oh, my God, I want to talk to you about this because I have anxiety, or my friend does, or my mom or my sister or whoever. And it's just really that human connection and that bond that I think eradicates anxiety and mental health disorders in so many respects. You know, we're so isolated in many respects because we're on cell phones and computers, we're in cars and our houses, and we don't see enough of each other and we don't let enough stuff out. But when we talk to people about this, when we get real with ourselves and with the most important people in our lives, that's the number one healing tool, in my opinion.
Okay. On your website, let's see, on coaching, you talk about several things on there. I'm not sure if you have it in front of you. Can you talk about that one particular page on your one-on-one coaching?
Yes,
Hip to Be Whole?
Absolutely. Yeah, Hip to Be Whole is my website. And, right, you were looking at the coaching page. I do one-on-one coaching with individuals. My target audience is predominantly young women, but I am open to working with anyone and everyone who feels that they can benefit from one-on-one coaching with me. And my coaching program, which actually I just redesigned, is a year. It's a year long, and each month, it goes on a month-by-month basis, we tackle something new, we work on something else. You heard me talk about earlier in this interview, you know, different pieces to the puzzle, such as dietary shifts and nutritional changes, yoga, meditation, creative expression, exercise, affirmations. These are all a major part of healing, and I try to give each one the time it deserves. So I give each one of these steps a month, and it's strategically planned because each of these steps builds off of the next. So like I said, it's a year-long program, and at the end of a year, the goal and what I know to be true because I've seen it in myself and in others is that you will be feeling much differently than you are today. You will feel that you have probably full control, if not close to full control, of your anxiety. And you'll see so much more happiness and inner fulfillment in your daily life. And my guess is, because I've seen this happen enough times now, is that we're going to end up tackling issues in tandem with your anxiety that you might not even know are there. And they just come out as a result of healing a specific part of yourself. So it's a great program. I really feel that when you invest this kind of time, money, effort, energy in yourself, you're going to see nothing but phenomenal results. I can tell you that much.
Wow. Tell us, I guess, your website address and how can we contact you. And I guess the best way to go from there, because since you do a lot of counseling, do you do it on a national basis or you just do it within the Chicago area?
You know, actually, I even do it on the international basis. I work with
people
everywhere. And the way I'm able to do that is when I coach, when I do individual one-on-one coaching, it's through Skype mostly, so people can access me from anywhere in the world. And to answer your first question, though, my website is Hip to Be Whole, and you can just go to HIP2BHOL.com. That'll take you to my site, or just Google Hadley Gustin and it'll come up. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter. You can see me all over social media, and my contact information, all my contact information you can find on my website as well.
Great. And give us the website address.
Again, it's HIP2BHOL.com. So it's www.HIP. The number two, the letter B, HOL.com.
Okay. And also you're found on Facebook with the same name, or is it called something else?
On Facebook, you can find me just as Hadley Gustin. On Twitter, my Twitter name is Hip to Be Hadley. And yeah, if you just search in Hadley Gustin, I'm pretty sure all of those accounts will come up.
Okay, great. Well, I would like to thank you for coming on the program. I really, really appreciate it. I appreciate the time we have and a lot of great information. And, of course, we want to have you on the show again in the future. But thank you, Hadley.
Thank you so much, Tim. It's been great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, same here. Take care. Again, it's been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening to the program. And if you can be so kind, within iTunes, go ahead and write a review or comment to the for the guests. I really appreciate it. Thank you again for joining in, and have a great day. Take care. Thank you, Hadley.